The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, hour number three, our final hour together here on the first day of the week, Monday, 18 October 2021. Rhonda's birthday. Say howdy to her when you call the show. And if you choose to call the show, here's some of what you might do. We are involved in continuing supply chain hand-wringing. But how's that ever going to get better? We're talking about the life and the passing of General Colin Powell at 84 earlier this morning, his family revealing on Facebook that he did indeed pass away of COVID-related complications. Was he vaccinated? Yes, he was. So that sends everybody twisting off in various directions. All kinds of things going on, topically speaking. Let's see here. I mentioned there were a couple of the economists that were on this week with Stephanopoulos, guest hosted by Martha Raddatz. I'll play them in a second. Also, the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd, and he's an interesting cat. He's against government mandates, but wants to leave companies alone to have whatever mandates they might want to have. And Chuck is, and it's funny, it's never enough for Chuck, who says, well, listen, you had the mandates, and all of a sudden, vaccine willingness went up. So doesn't that automatically make it the right thing to do? Well, we would have, there are all kinds of behaviors that we could compel, that we could have government mandates for, and they would go up. If we had, we had diet police for our kids, we'd have fewer fat kids. But we're not going to do that either. Just because something brings about a desired result doesn't mean that a government mandate is the way to go about it. So all kinds of things, stuff from your weekend, things I haven't even brought up yet, 866-660-5759. Within the last hour on Fox News, they welcomed a gentleman named Robert Charles, who was an assistant secretary of state under Colin Powell. And they asked him why that when he retired in 1993, retired from the military, there was instant buzz about Colin Powell running for president. And they asked former Assistant Secretary of State Robert Charles why he didn't do it.
You know, I think it was I've only had a couple of very small conversations with him, and they were very elliptical about that, because Colin Powell had a zone of privacy around him, as Ronald Reagan did, but others who just, it was a respect thing. You mm-hmm. didn't raise something with him. I'm sure we didn't agree on everything, but he was admired so much that you respected him to the nines. And as a result, you wouldn't raise something that, but I think it was a calculation. I think he looked at it hard, and for whatever reason, maybe a combination of his professional thinking about what politics is or was at the time, and unfortunately is now, maybe a sense of timing in life, maybe family. At the end of the day, he just concluded that that wasn't the right time for that action.
And we'll continue with Mr. Charles here in a second. But this, I'm taken back nostalgically to the 90s. Fresh off the military successes of the first wave of Gulf Wars, it made him an enormously popular figure. And he had the kind of broad appeal. I mean, he was serving a Republican administration, Bush 41, but Democrats liked him too. The Democrats found things to like in his moderate stance on military matters. Republicans saw him as a great asset associated with the successes of Republican administrations. There was buzz about him as a potential vice presidential nominee in the 92 presidential election, or maybe even potentially replacing Dan Quayle as the vice presidential nominee. Poor Dan Quayle, God love him. And then, but then Powell declared himself a Republican and began to campaign for Republican candidates in 1995. Now, was this a matter of everything's relative, that Powell was not, you know, fully on board, you know, with the Clinton administration? So he said, well, I guess I'll be a Republican. Later on, Trump hatred fueled what was already underway, and that was his pivoting toward the Democrat Party. And there was in the primaries of 1996, the Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary, et cetera, there was like a poll, and Colin Powell led him, because in 1996, we were just, as Republicans, just so desperate to try to do something to end the Clinton presidency. If only we knew how bad things would get. I don't mean during Clinton. I mean since. Clinton was a hugely problematic presidency. It looks like child's play compared to what we're going through right now. Colin Powell declined, and the language that he used at the time in 1996 was that he just didn't have, a passion for politics. And there was a hypothetical matchup of candidates versus candidates, and it showed Powell beating Bill Clinton 50-38. Now, these are always really suspect, because once you actually run, things happen. Things change. You have to actually take stands on things. And as soon as you do, you're going to delight half the country and alienate the other half. So Colin Powell enjoyed the glow of proud military service, which he deserved, but he would have, at some point, he would have had to get down into the nitty-gritty of issues and talk about whether he was pro-life or pro-choice, whether he favored higher taxes or lower taxes, stronger borders or weaker borders, protecting the First Amendment or not. And as soon as you start to answer those questions, all that warm, fuzzy, gauzy glow of the admiration for your military career, again, admiration that's thoroughly deserved, but then all of a sudden we got to start to pay attention on stuff you actually believe. Well, time passed, didn't it? And then we learned all kinds of things that Colin Powell actually believed about those issues. And on virtually all of them, he's a liberal. So that's why you always have to ask. You always have to ask. Crazy. And then not long after that, he decided to sort of pivot away from politics and do some things that were more charitable. And he founded this wonderful group called America's Promise and the Colin Powell Center for Leadership and Service. Did all kinds of, he just did so, so very, very many wonderful, wonderful things. And there was buzz about Colin Powell again in 2000. You remember, we talked about that right here. And but once it was, you know, pretty clear that that was going to be George W.'s to lose, General Powell said, no, I'm good, and endorsed him for president. And when we all gathered in Philadelphia for the Bush-Cheney anointing there in 2000, Colin Powell spoke in support of him. But he began to tilt left, and then Trump broke him even further. But, hey, that's happened to a lot of people. Anyway, Robert Charles, former Assistant Secretary of State, on Fox an hour ago.
You know, here was someone who was the perfect strategist. I mean, he is the one who really authored the idea of overwhelming presence as a military strategy here.
Man, do you remember this wonderful quote? Colin Powell standing in front of a diagram and talking about the command and control of what you do when you're trying to defeat an enemy, Saddam and his forces in Iraq after their invasion of Kuwait, and his plain-spoken description of what we're going to do to those chains of, speaking of supply chains, the command and control chains, the supplying of intel, the supplying of materiel, the supplying of equipment, the supplying of troops. He said, I want you to think of this as a snake. On the over top of this map, the paths used to get the proper help and resources and reinforcements to his forces as we go up against him, I want you to think about a snake. And you know what we're going to do to that snake? We're going to cut its head off and we're going to kill it. I thought that was awesome. Just thought that was awesome.
Someone who I could give you examples, which I won't on this call, but of examples in his military life where he made absolutely rock solid decisions that if he hadn't, this country would be in a much worse position than it's in. He did similar things at state. A man who, again, did not take things personally, who served and lived to serve and loved those with whom he served and loved the American people.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell has passed. We have a statement from his family that's been posted onto Facebook.
Yeah, the Facebook's, and it got flagged by Facebook. I mentioned this last hour, that the family mentioned that General Powell passed away this morning due to complications of COVID-19. He was fully vaccinated. The family chose to mention that. And that we want to thank the medical staff at Walter Reed National Medical Center for their caring treatment. We've lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American. And then Facebook flags it and says, you might want to go to the COVID-19 Vaccination Center for more information about vaccines. What? Fine. But I think it was the family's decision. What kind of mischief did they think Colin Powell's family was up to? Did they think that Colin Powell's family was trying to use this as some kind of shiv in the ribs of the vaccines? Like, hey, you know, our dad got it, and he was vaccinated, and he got it, so the vaccines are useless. I don't think that at all. I don't know. Facebook, man, what you gonna do? All right, 919. What we're gonna do is pause, come back, examine a couple of other things going on in the news, things going on in your head. 866-660-5759. Monday topics flying. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Monday in progress. Little Billy Joel, Los Angelinos. 866-660-5759. I was doing some listening to just some of the news coverage on the passing of Colin Powell. And if there's anybody that has spoken to him multiple times over the years, it's Chris Wallace, who had some very interesting reminiscences. I might play some of those here in just a second. First, let's do some telephone action. 866-660-5759. Jeff, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. On this vaccine thing, I think that there's two sides to it. There's two sciences going on. We've gotten to the point in this country where we're arguing over facts because we disagree with people politically. When this whole thing started almost 2 years ago now, we didn't know what it was. Now we know a lot more than we do. And the information just keeps getting better in some circles and worse in others. The scientists that I listen to that say this is not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy, they just explain the science, they explain what it does, they explain the graphene oxide, they explain it. Okay, hang on. There's another side to it. You're choosing to listen to the Fauci side, frankly, and we know how dangerous he is.
Jeff, that's BS. I'm listening to my doctor. And if we gather 100 doctors at random, Jeff, the number who are going to bag on the vaccine on the mRNA methodology that it's not a real vaccine is infinitesimally small. So what you're trying to do here, and it's not going to fly, is present a myth of equivalency, as if there are two roughly equal competing types of science, when in fact there is not.
Okay, how about the VAERS system, V-A-E-R-S?
How about the V-A-E-R-S, the one where anybody who has anything happen, anything, absolutely anything, by the way, I'm glad it exists. It's the vaccine adverse effect reaction. That's where they gather.
Correct.
So that they have a huge pile of data, a massive, monstrous pile. It's called everything that ever happens to anybody after they get the shot. Okay, I'm glad that exists. It is the
15,000 deaths.
It is the height of intellectual dishonesty to point to the VAERS raw numbers as being some type of weaponizable thing that you can use to characterize the vaccines as dangerous, and you don't want to be in that camp.
It's a government system reported by medical professionals.
No, exactly right. And all anyone needs to do, of course it is. If somebody gets the shot tomorrow and has something bad happen, it's instantly there is eligible without any regard toward was there any other contributing factor? Was there anything in terms of age? Was there anything in terms of some condition they had? And by the way, that's good that that exists. But for the second time, it is the height of intellectual dishonesty to go to VAERS and nothing else and go, that's it. Look at all those deaths. You are smarter than that. And perhaps out of time as well. I did nothing. 866-660-5759. Chris Wallace on Fox News just moments ago, they sort of asked him for a first reaction because Colin Powell was probably on Fox News multiple times.
I think, like a lot of people, when I saw it come across email today that Colin Powell was dead, I had a gasp. And I think he was one of those timeless figures. I heard Dana earlier say a giant that you just didn't think of as his passing from the scene. I first got to know him when he was the deputy national security advisor in the Reagan White House, then became national security advisor. I've been thinking back over the many memories I have of him really for almost 40 years now. And I think the highlight, which were touched on by David Spunt, the highlight of his career when he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in early 1991, and headed the military operation along with Secretary of Defense Cheney to push Saddam Hussein back out of Kuwait and back into Iraq. And, he, along with Norman Schwarzkopf and Cheney and George H.W. Bush, built up this huge international coalition and began it with a months-long air war that just pounded Iraqi forces and eventually then launched that left hook, a ground invasion into Kuwait against the Iraqis and forced them back. That was clearly the highlight of his career. As David mentioned, I think the lowlight of his career was in 2003 when he addressed the United Nations and made the case that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. He did not want to make that speech, and he took a lot of pressure from people in the Bush 43 White House.
Well, let's spend a moment on that. Whether General Powell wanted to make that speech or not, interesting. Everything old is new again. Did Saddam have weapons of mass destruction as of the date of 9/11? Of course he did. Used them against his own people. If you give a resourceful, evil leader a year and a half, as we did, from 9/11 to the beginning of so-called shock and awe in the spring of 03, can he get rid of an entire network of weapons of mass destruction? Yes, he can. Were there pockets of evidence that it had been spirited across Syrian border and other places? Yes, there were. So this notion, this binary notion that in 2003, as Colin Powell went to the United Nations, there should have been nothing that restrained him or gave him sleepless nights over asserting a solid belief that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. The error that a lot of people make, let me get into the bottom of the hour news here with Nikki Whaley, and then we'll come back and talk about this some more. The life, death, Colin Powell takes us back to all these issues of the 90s. Maybe it's a valuable history refresher for many. 866-660-5759. And I said this at the time. I said, listen, whether Saddam had weapons of mass destruction or not, he was the most misbehaving regime in the part of the country, in the part of the world that was trying to kill us. The most misbehaving regime in the part of the world that was trying to kill us. Threatening American presidents with assassination, trying to shoot American planes out of the sky. It's like we needed to say, oh, but he's got this Dr. Evil style weapon of mass destruction network going, and only based on that can we decide to launch a war effort into the part of the world where everybody's trying to kill us. That was never necessary for me. All right, here's something necessary. Let's hop into the bottom of the hour. Nikki Whaley is in for Gordon. And then your thoughts on a variety of things. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The answer. Here's Nikki.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA.
Where else, Chuck?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah.
And round the Frisco Bay. All over St. Louis. And down in New Orleans. All the cats gonna dance with Sweet Little 16.
Chuck Berry and Sweet Little 16.
She just got to have about a half a million. Famed autograph.
Chuck Berry, born 95 years ago today, passed away just 4 years ago.
Become so excited. Watch her look at her run.
The great Chuck Berry. That was that was a guy who lived life in big gulps. And it's funny, we play a lot of tunes on this show, and I'm a fan of many genres, but anything I do that has its roots in the glories of rock and roll pays an enormous debt to Chuck Berry. Alrighty, home stretch, 866-660-5759. We're in Wiley. Richard, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Oh, good, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Look, I'm driving, and so I'm going to ask a couple of quick questions, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer
No problem. Whatever you like.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd like to ask is I keep hearing these folks talk about how they're going to, I mean, these candidates for governor are going to install the border wall or finish it or continue it or whatever they're going to do.
Right.
First off, can they do that legally? I mean, is that something that's viable and something that's, you know, legal and they're not going to be challenged over it? And if not, I mean, or if it is, if it's not, why aren't they doing it? Why isn't somebody doing it now? Secondly, I wanted to ask about your thoughts on transporting these illegals. I mean, it just bothers me to no end that they end up being transported by buses and planes or wherever to different parts of the country, oftentimes in our area here in the Dallas area. So these are our roads, the state roads at least belong to us. Mm-hmm. So can't we have our highway patrol escort these folks wherever they want to go wherever it would be beneficial to get them out of the state. For example, they escort them to Oklahoma. The Oklahoma people, state troopers, escort them on up through and just continue this on up into D.C. and drop them off there. I mean, I know that's bizarre. Maybe
no, I know what you mean. I think somebody else's favorite idea was to take them to Delaware, right, to Joe Biden's backyard.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I tell you what. Go ahead. I'm sorry, because I'm ready to roll.
No, I'm just going to hang up. I'm just going to.
No,
say,
you're fine.
Is that something that could happen?
Yeah, okay. It's difficult but doable. And you go ahead and drive, and I'll talk to you. So thank you, because those are great. And usually my favorite thing is hang on, because there may be something I say that sparks another question. But if your comfort zone is, let me hang up and, you know, pay attention to the road, I'm never going to dissuade that. Okay, so in order, the things the gentleman mentioned, the notion of a Texas governor, what can any Texas governor actually do in terms of a border that is ultimately the federal government's responsibility? It is the federal government's responsibility, but the federal government right now is led by a party that is wholly unserious about keeping us safe from waves of illegal immigrants. So are there things a Texas governor can do? Yes, there are. Some are being done. Not enough, according to, you know, Don Huffines and Alan West. But Governor Abbott has sent a lot of money down there and a lot of DPS and a lot of guard forces. Are there more that we could deploy? Yes. Is there more that we could spend? Yes. Are there more things? Are there more things we could do to seal up the border? Yes. Are there things we could do less of that are incentives to illegal immigration and facilitators of illegals once they are here? Yes, there are. So there's a wide swath of policy decisions that can be made there that have very much to do with the affairs of the state of Texas, without regard to what federal policy may be at any given moment. I mean, Abbott's been governor for a good while. And when Trump was president, his job was easier. When Trump was president, there were countless people who didn't even think of crossing the border because Trump was president. Well, now Biden's president, hanging the welcome sign at every turn and every twist, in the Texas border and the Arizona border and the California border. And so to the surprise of no one, people are taking him up on his invitation, an invitation to come pouring across where you will indeed be detained and processed and then released into the tapestry of America. And with that, we get to the gentleman's second question. What can the state of Texas do in terms of having some authority over where these folks go once they are here? The answer is only so much, because in a lot of cases, they're processed and then just sent to the local bus station, sometimes with stipends, sometimes with envelopes full of money that come from so-called charities. Some churches and some charities and some secular charities who are on the noble foundation, the gracious auspice of caring about people, and we should all care about people. But it's like we're going to help these people and we're going to give them a bunch of money. And, you know, 60 days from now when they have their court date,
right,
you know, they'll be long gone. They will be long gone. They'll get a pile of money from some well-meaning or not so well-meaning so-called charity, some so-called relief organization, and then off they go. They're at the bus station in El Paso. They're motoring their way northward with money given to them by so-called charities. And then when that money runs out, they're inside the country. Nobody knows they're here. Supremely available for day labor or whatever else they can do to subsist in America while living here illegally, a skill set developed by who knows how many, you know, 10 to 20 million at least. And they're gone. And they have vanished. And we have no way of knowing where they are. And they will remain gone. The next time we will hear from them will be at the ballot box when they engage in grateful Democrat voting patterns, perhaps for a lifetime, after they have been normalized, legalized, naturalized, and then, as I say often, energized to vote Democrat forever out of gratitude to Papa Biden, who left the door open for them. Now, the gentleman's questions are excellent. I appreciate them enormously. These are Texas roads. It is a Texas law enforcement issue. And the degree to, if there's some bus or something that's going somewhere, because here's the deal, the Biden administration just loves the notion of flooding the red states with these folks. You're not going to have, you know, Joe Biden making sure that the whole lot of illegals wind up in Massachusetts. No, they're going to Texas. They're going to Louisiana. Again, because what does everybody say about Texas demographics and Texas future? Oh, it's a changing state demographically. Oh, the ethnic profiles of Texas are changing, which, by the way, they are. And to the degree to which anybody comes here legally, that's great. I don't care what color anybody is, what race anybody is. I mean, I care about them politically, but if they have a right to vote, they have a right to vote. And they will be able to, by the way. The notion that voting is hard is one of the absurd myths of our time. And so there we are with a White House that's going to be in power for the remainder of this one term. Please, Lord, let that be it. They're going to lord over a system that leaves the door open and then strategically funnels a seed program of illegal immigrants mostly into the red states, which tend to splay out across the South, Southeast, Southwest, so that when they do suddenly get their heads above legal water and have been normalized, legalized, naturalized, they'll be energized not just to vote Democrat with decades of grateful Democrat voting, but they'll be doing it in Texas, in Louisiana, in Oklahoma, in Mississippi, in Tennessee, in Alabama, in Georgia, because that's where they wound up. 866-660-5759. Dan Patrick was actually on Fox News in the last 30 minutes with Bill Hemmer, Dana Perino, talking about the Remain in Mexico policy, which a court has reinstated, which is awesome. Biden doesn't want to do that, though. He'll probably drag his feet on it. And there's another stickler in sort of pumping new life into the Remain in Mexico policy is Mexico has to actually go along with their end of it. Remain in Mexico means that if you have an asylum claim, great. Let's do the paperwork while you're still in Mexico, rather than welcoming you into this country where you can vanish. Lieutenant Governor Patrick.
President Biden has come to this decision, Bill, not because he wants to, because the courts have forced him to, and because his polling on this issue, depending on the poll that you see, is about 25% of Americans approve of what he's doing on the border and about 75% disapprove. What he needs to do is ask Donald Trump to come back and negotiate with Mexico for him, because he obviously cannot negotiate his way out of Afghanistan. He cannot negotiate with issues along the border. And Mexico found a way to work with President Trump to be sure that we kept the MPP, the Migrant Protection Protocols, in place. And it was a consistent policy, Bill, that helped reduce the flow of people coming to this country illegally. And right now, we are looking at over 1 million people apprehended this year, meaning probably another 2 or 3 million have come in illegally. And we are totally, it's out of control on the border. And the president, by the way, we can't wait till mid-November. He needs to do this today.
So good luck with that. And Lieutenant Governor talking about the way Trump handled Mexico, whether it's a Mexican president who certainly is not an enemy of the United States, it's a trading partner, a neighbor, all those good things. Then you get to Putin, where the Cold War is not there anymore, but we got to watch them like a hawk, to actual enemies like Kim Jong-un in North Korea, actual enemies like Iran, actual economic rivals and diametrically opposed ways of doing business like China. But if you have a president, as Trump was, and every world leader knew that every breath he took, every day he spent, was to make sure that America's interests were served first, and every interaction that took place was through that lens, America was better and the world was safer. Can we get that back? 950. So you know I'm skeptical of covers, right? Rare is the ones that I love. So Crowded House has Don't Dream It's Over, like 20 years ago. And then Sixpence None the Richer does a wonderful cover of it. Now the wonderful Lauren Daigle has done it as well. Heard this on some restaurant's house music or something. I said, you know what? I'll use this one day. The great Lauren Daigle and her wonderful cover of Don't Dream It's Over. For the birthday girl. Producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at Producer Rhonda K. on Twitter, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. And Nikki Whaley for filling in for Gordon today. Gordon is back tomorrow. Appreciate you. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a wonderful day. Mike Gallagher is next. See what he has up his talk show sleeve. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7, right here, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
They come to build a wall between us. We know they won't win.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.